family members and our staff members all equally safe and assured that these protocols have that in mind. So with that, if there's any questions about COVID-19 situation, I'm happy to answer them. Okay.
Brian, Deb?
Yes, go ahead.
I wonder if you could just tell us what the acronym for that program for the students, LEAP, stands for.
I've only ever seen it as LEAP. I have never seen the words that go with it. So unless Mary Burgard or Anita Mendoza can answer that, I literally, every communication, they just call it LEAP.
I don't think there is an acronym. I think it's like a just a term, leap into, because it's designed for transition. So I think it's just LEAP. I don't think it's an acronym.
Easy enough to find out.
This is Jay. I can take a look. I've read what the acronym means, but I don't have it in front of me. But I'll see if during this time I can find out for us.
This is Beth Real. If it's the pre-employment transition services, it says Learn, Earn, and Prosper. LEAP. Learn, Earn, and Prosper.
I think that's what. Yeah.
Thank you.
That actually sounds about right. But there are more than one LEAP program, though. Just to clarify, the LEAP program Ryan's referring to is out of Vermont. We actually have one in Connecticut that we also work with. So I believe the one that you're talking about, Brian, is the Vermont LEAP program.
Yes.
That's basically in collaboration with the Vermont BR program. Yeah, they actually are the ones who have designed it. We in Connecticut have collaborated with BRS and have our own LEAP program, and I think that's what that acronym is for.
Oh, I'm on the Vermont website.
Okay, perfect then. Sorry. Go
ahead. Okay.
Well, thank you, Beth. Like I said, every communication I've ever received, they just have said, I'm glad to hear that we now have the acronym for it.
Yeah, there usually is an acronym, you're right.
Thanks, guys.
I think we may have our success story on the phone. Hold on 1 second. I just, Kendra has said perhaps if you try *6, if you've called in rather than being on a Zoom call, you might be able to unmute by trying *6. So, okay, thank you, Kendra, for those who are on the phone who want to try to unmute. Okay, success story.
I am unmuted.
I'm here with my client. Do you want me to go ahead and introduce her?
Introduce yourself and then.
Okay. I'm Charlotta Copenhaver, and I'm a vocational rehab counselor. I'm currently in the pre-ATS program, but I had been working in the adult VR department up until October. And I'm here to introduce Melissa Carney, who is here with us. Melissa has been a client of BESBE since 1999. We looked it up earlier, and she was 2 years old when she started. She's been with us throughout child services and then through high school and transitioned into college. She attended Mount Holyoke and graduated with a bachelor's degree in 2019 in May. And she got a job working almost right out of school in March of last year, but unfortunately she couldn't take the job because of COVID. She couldn't take it right away, but then she started working in August of 2020. So I'm going to go ahead and let her tell you a little bit about her experiences with BESBE and what all she's gone through, and then Melissa, if you could also talk to us a little bit about your job, where you're working, and how you're doing it, and how it's going. So, Melissa?
Absolutely.
Hello, everyone. My name is Melissa. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be able to come back to where it all began and speak to you all today about my experiences with BSV. I actually hadn't realized, I guess it makes sense that I'd been a client of BSV for that long. All I remember from my preschool days were being obsessed with singing with my fellow students and playing with Play-Doh. And mixed in there, of course, I was learning Braille. I had a wonderful TVI named Peg Palmer, for anyone who knew her or knows of her, who really exposed me to blindness and started my journey with Braille and other forms of adapting to the curriculum and schooling. So I lost my sight to retinoblastoma when I was about 18 months old. My first eye was nucleated. When I was 2, my second eye was nucleated. So I didn't have much time in the sighted world. And right away, my parents were searching for resources. Sometimes when you live in a small state, especially one where you live in a rural environment where there aren't as many resources or aren't too many people with disabilities that you see on the streets, it can be quite a journey to finally be connected to that support system. But my parents found BSV. They immediately got me services, and I started on my journey with BSV. And I would say, as the only blind student in my school district, and in, I would say, a 10-mile radius, living in Deep River, Connecticut, a very, very small rural town with no sidewalks, no ADA education, or anything of that nature, it was a very difficult journey for me at first growing up, and trying to figure out that I could do my best to fit in with my peers, but there were always accommodations that I needed. There were always certain things that, despite my best efforts, I couldn't participate in. I tried playing with a beep soccer ball that BSV gave me, but of course, when sighted soccer took over, I was left behind. So I found my skill set in gymnastics and horseback riding and more individualized sports. Throughout my education in elementary school, BSV was always trying to teach me how to cook, how to take care of myself, how to organize my clothing by color, anything they could do to give me a head start in living an independent lifestyle. And I think that was key. I think a lot of times you see a stubborn child who's lost their sight and wants to fit in with their peers, and sometimes that child is extremely resistant to doing something that falls outside of the quote-unquote norm. But BSV and my TBIs kept at it. They established goals for me. They helped me reach my aspirations. And slowly but surely, I became more and more independent. I was learning when I was that young how to cut my food, how to do my laundry independently, even how to vacuum. And I think that was very key for BSV intervened that early and started those skills so early. Because there comes a time when you truly realize that you need those skills, and it shouldn't be at that point where you're really struggling, where you're finally getting in touch with those practicalities. The one thing I was resistant to growing up was cane travel. And I always looked at my cane as an identifier of my differences and how much I stuck out. That was the one thing I couldn't let go of. But again, BSV persevered, and they paired me with some of the best mobility instructors I could have had. And especially starting in sixth grade, I was paired with a woman named Jessica. And Jessica was young. She was fun. She embodied this young spirit that I really needed to connect to. She made mobility fun and made me understand that while it was a lot of work, it involved a lot of adjustment and learning curves and practice and difficulty. Once you navigated those barriers and those learning curves, you could start to have fun and start to enjoy your life and be able to get out on your own and be independent. So for example, if I'm walking to an ice cream shop, and she would do this, if we would walk to stores, we would walk to ice cream shops. If I could just navigate this handful of intersections, listen to my perpendicular and parallel traffic, and memorize routes, I could achieve success at that destination. I could get that ice cream cone at the end. I could get that coffee, that hot chocolate when we were stuck in the cold on winter days. And I think that was one of my favorite things about the education I received from BESBE and the support. It was all, the goals were always outlined in a practical manner. There were always steps that I had to take, but they always allowed me to see how my efforts would pay off and how I could reach that end goal. It wasn't just about work, 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 work. There was always incentive. There was always a reason that I should try. It wasn't just because we said so or because you're in your IEP. I would see how those risks and those challenges paid off. And I think it's because of my journey with BESBE early on that I started to realize that every mistake and every challenge really is an opportunity to grow in disguise. And that mantra I held onto even to this day, that empowers me to keep trying, to keep reaching for the stars, to understand that there's no limit, there are no limits. I would say when I got to middle school and high school, things were amped up a notch. I wasn't just cutting food. I wasn't just learning how to do my laundry. Now there were serious applications for cooking. There was a serious need to start learning. There was a serious need to start thinking about the fact that I would probably be entering into college in a few years. And I had to learn how to get from point A to point B in as an efficient manner as possible. I had to learn, most importantly, how to self-advocate for what I needed once I got into the real world, and even in high school and my everyday life. And I think other than the practical reasons for getting to where I needed to go and giving me a glimpse of that end goal, there was always the need and driven home that I need to learn how to self-advocate. There's not always going to be a BESBE to have my back. There is not always going to be a parent to have my back, a mama bear, a father figure. Whatever that may be, there are times where I'm going to be on my own. And because of that, BESBE was very strict in helping me to learn self-advocacy skills. And for that, I'm extremely grateful. Because I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have my own back and my own confidence and my own means to fall back on. I was put in some uncomfortable situations to force me out of my comfort zone. I was, for instance, given directions to get to a store. This is for orientation mobility, for example. And once I got to that store, I was told, okay, you want to buy your mom a Christmas present? Go buy your mom a Christmas present. And I had to go into that store, locate the counter, ask for assistance, and find a pair of slippers for my mom, or a necklace, or whatever I was going to get her that Christmas. That was just orientation and mobility. In my everyday life, I had to learn how to speak up for what accommodations I needed in high school. Whether it was, I think I need more time on tests, or I don't know if this system is working out. I don't know if this seating placement is working for me. How can we improve this? Or I still don't know this route to this place. How can we learn that? How can we build that into my schedule to make sure that I know how to get from point A to point B? I had to learn very quickly. If I didn't speak up to either my TBIs for what I needed, speak up to my teachers even more so for what I needed and how they could make their course materials accessible, I was going to be left behind. And when you're put in that reality, you start to act. And it's because of BESBE that I started to act and I started to really consider the consequences and the implications of self-advocacy. Still, I still struggled to feel as though I belonged. I started gaining more and more confidence in my cane over time, but it still made me insecure. In high school, I was upset that I couldn't play on the softball team or on the soccer team. There are times when my emotional health was not where it should be. But despite that, I felt pushed. I was given a purpose, and I persevered. Because of Besby's recommendation, I was able to attend the Youth Leadership Forum, where I networked with people with all types of disabilities, fellow high school students. We worked on leadership skills together, team building projects, even trust exercises like low ropes courses. And that was incredibly impactful, to be able to step out of my own comfort zone, network with people of all types of needs and disabilities, and kind of take the pressure off myself and think about how can I mentor others? How can I be mentored by others? How can we best support each other? How can we take what makes us unique and use that to benefit our team projects or our teamwork? I also not only took a role as a camper in Camp Abilities, but became a counselor for Camp Abilities back when Besby was involved, making sure that I was supporting those students, encouraging them to pursue adaptive sports that they'd never gotten a chance to. And I think through experiences like that, I started realizing I'm not in the backseat anymore. I'm in the driver's seat. Here are people, other blind people who I'm being exposed to, because I wasn't exposed to them in my school district. I'm being exposed to them now, and they're in the same position that I was years ago. And they need a mentor. They need someone to tell them that it's okay to step out of their comfort zone. It's okay to try something new, to take a risk. It's okay to run, to hold a rope and run through a field and know that people have your back and nothing bad is going to happen to you. It's okay to get on the back of a tandem bike or to play kickball, beat baseball, judo, wrestling, all those sports and capabilities. I experienced being welcomed into that community, finding community, finding mentors, and I was fortunate enough to be able to pass that on. And I couldn't have done that without Besby. I couldn't have found my stride with Besby enough to start thinking about how I can pass my lessons on to others. I was fortunate enough to be accepted to Mount Holyoke College in South Hadley, Massachusetts. And here I thought would be a great transition. I could go to college out of state, but if I needed anything, I would still be close enough to home. I still wanted to stay in New England. I still wanted to stay near my support network in Connecticut and Besby. But at least I was taking the next step in my journey and putting myself in a new environment where I knew no one. Throughout my time at college, I became comfortable. Finally, all of those lessons with my mobility instructor kicked in, because I had to become comfortable with my white cane. I was alone on a college campus. I was meeting friends, making connections. I had to go to my classes. There was no one to hold my hand. It was me talking to my disability office about the accommodations I needed. Me who had to get there for all the meetings. So I started leaning more on my cane. I started taking risks and learning routes on my own or with my friends that I hadn't learned during my mobility lessons. I started becoming comfortable with getting lost and finding my way again. I started realizing that everything that I thought was intimidating and everything that my TBIs warned me about and my VR counsel warned me about, I realized that they were all true. That while they may be daunting and maybe scary tasks to undertake, they would all pay off, just like the risks I'd taken throughout my childhood had. I ended up, after my freshman year, I felt so confident with my cane and with my mobility skills. And I was also doing really well grade-wise. I'd gotten straight A's that entire year. I decided that I was comfortable enough with the college transition to apply for a guide dog. So
3 days after I finished up my last exam in May of 2016, I went to Guiding Eyes for the Blind in Yorktown Heights, New York, and I was matched with my guide dog. And he is the embodiment of everything that I've come to be and my personality. We both share that same drive to keep proving ourselves, to keep bettering ourselves. And we both share that drive to try new things, to fail and then succeed again. That summer, we went to Vermont on a family vacation, Massachusetts on a family vacation, Boston, we walked around Harvard. We went to many places just to familiarize ourselves with each other and prove that we could do it, prove that we could succeed. When my sophomore year started, I was still checking in with my then VR counselor, Mike Cordero. And it was then that I decided that after a lot of disability discrimination I had faced in some of my college classes, it was time for me to take that peer mentorship into an official role. So I became a peer mentor for a couple students in BSB, as well as a peer mentor for a couple students at Guiding Eyes, and most official of all, a peer mentor for Mount Holyoke College in their accessibility services department. Through that experience, it gave me the confidence to continue fighting for equal treatment at Mount Holyoke, making sure that every student's voice was heard, making sure that every student felt comfortable asking for accommodations, and if they dealt with a difficult professor, standing up for themselves enough to know that they needed help and going through the proper channels to make sure that they were not being ignored or shoved to the wayside. Through my work and through the work of all of my fellow advocates, after a year of being told that my college could not teach me an accessible Spanish course because of inaccessible materials created by Pearson, finally, after a year and a half of dealing with that discrimination, but continuing to fight, that course was finally introduced in the second semester of my sophomore year. And that was invigorating to me, knowing and seeing firsthand that advocacy had results in the classroom, knowing that I could help my mentees have similar success. And through it all, BSB continued to have my back. They made it very clear whatever I needed, they would help. They were always working with my disability office to make sure that my course materials were ready, to make sure that I was being supported in a proper way. After my sophomore year, I was fortunate enough to win a national scholarship from the National Federation of the Blind, in which, once again, I was placed out of my comfort zone. I had to travel on my own, on a plane for the very first time in my life, to go to Orlando to accept the scholarship. And throughout the entire experience, BSB's mantra kept running through my head. Advocate, advocate, advocate. Self-advocate, self-advocate, self-advocate. I was in an unfamiliar environment. I knew no one. I was in an unfamiliar city. And I was learning how to navigate an airport for the very, very first time with no assistance. And again, I fell back on the skills that I had learned, the confidence that I had been able to build up from mentors, from my teachers. I was able to persevere. I was able to learn the entire hotel layout. I was able to make sure that I got to all my meetings on time and planned out my routes accordingly. I was able to network with other successful blind adults and students. And I learned that whenever I was ready to take that next step out of a rural community, I was almost ready. I was almost there. I proved to myself that I had the capabilities to do so because of what had been ingrained in me from day one, from when I was 2 years old. My junior year flew by thanks to contracting with a mobility specialist. I was able to learn two new campuses with the help of Matt Cornelius. And I learned the UMass, their huge Amherst campus, to take a class off campus on that. Holyoke has a great partnership with four other nearby universities. So I took a class at UMass Amherst, learned that route to my classes in two different buildings on a giant campus, learned I could navigate a mini city pretty well, and then I took a class at Amherst College as well. I just kept pushing. I didn't let blindness define me or define my limitations or tell me what I could and could not do, because I felt empowered. I felt as though I was a woman. After my junior year, and again with the help of Besby, I was able to stay at the Carroll Center for the Blind in Newton, Massachusetts, and I was able to intern for IBM through their work program. This was my first time being in a city by myself, completely by myself, living on my own, commuting to my internship every other day. And at first I was nervous. I never crossed intersections to this degree. I'd never been faced with such a massive public transit system. But through it all, I kept picking up on little ways to enhance my confidence. Little things that I could be observant of and use to benefit myself. So all the landmarks I'd pick up along the way, the different angles of travel I have to take to get from one train subway platform to the next, I ingrained those lessons in my mind and kept using them to build a larger map of the city. And it's because I forced myself out of my comfort zone and made sure that I practiced and that I didn't shy away, that I eventually started going out on my own without a mobility instructor, without a friend, just exploring Boston, not being afraid to ask a stranger for help if I couldn't locate something, not being afraid to take new train lines and to learn a city, to truly learn the city, to go on late night adventures, to have lunch at a new restaurant, to experience the North End, all of those aspects of Boston I was able to take advantage of because I never said no. I never told myself that this was something I couldn't do. I never let myself balk at a challenge. That carried on when, after finishing all of my double major requirements for English and psychology after my junior year, I was able to study in Washington, D.C. the first semester of my senior year. I studied politics, economics, and philosophy. I interned with the National Council on Independent Living and had to once again navigate an entirely new city on my own with no idea of the differences between their public transit. Once again, Besby made sure that I had a mobility instructor to help me take that first step, to get me familiarized with my area so that I could continue to expand my skills and my map of the city from there. So, not only had I learned the T, but I learned the Metro. I learned their bus system. I learned how to navigate the entire tunnel system under the Capitol building. And that was because Besby believed in me enough to make sure that I was given that first measure of support. And they trusted me to continue on after that and not just settle with one mobility lesson, but continue to pave my own path.
and get the most out of that one mobility lesson that I ever could. So when I came back to Massachusetts,